Welcome back to another episode of the Bills Wire podcast. I'm your host, Rob Quinn. As always, with me is Kyle Salagi. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing all right. I have a cold, I have a headache, and very excited to talk about the Bills. I'm sure that's going to cure my illness.
Perfect ingredients to talk about the Bills and the Jets matchup on Sunday to start the regular season. How excited are you to watch Josh McCown and Robbie Anderson take to New Era Field and get Sean McDermott's first game underway?
Less excited than I would like to be for a season opener, just because it is the Tank Bowl, just because both teams aren't going to be great this season. It's going to be a hard game to watch, but the Bills should win, so that's a plus.
Yeah, we have on Draft Breakdown and Inside the Pylons, Ryan Ducharme on the show later to talk about some of those college quarterbacks that Bills fans think the team is tanking to draft one of them. So we had him come and talk a little bit about the top guys, so just listen for that after we preview the Jets. Looking at this Jets roster, it is pretty sad. And, you know, throughout the offseason, we were talking about the lack of depth at wide receiver. If you want to see a lack of depth, listen to these names. You have Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse, Ardarius Stewart, Sharon Peak, Chad Hansen, Khalif Raymond, DeMaurier Stringfellow, and Jeremy Curley signed there as well, correct?
Yes.
So Jeremy Curley rounds it out. Now that is a menacing squad to look at.
Strong core.
And now Josh McCown under center. Matt Forte at 32 still going. Then you got Bilal Powell as his handcuff there behind that mean offensive line with Kelvin Beachum, James Carpenter, Wesley Johnson at center, right guard Brian Winters, right tackle Brandon Shell. And then you got the tight ends you can't forget about, Eric Tomlinson and Jordan Leggett. This game could be a shootout.
It's going to be. It's going to be a 80-point classic here that we're all going to be privileged to witness.
Yeah, now, you did a post on this the other day, but it's the biggest spread, actually, in Vegas is this game. But the lowest implied point total, was that correct?
Yep, we have the biggest spread, or we did at the time of writing. It was, we were the 9, or essentially the 10-point favorite, but the over-under was 40. So Vegas essentially expects us to totally beat them, but we're not going to be very good either.
So, looking forward to this thriller. What will you be watching for, actually? We have Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator, going back to a 4-3. I mean, you heard this cast of characters on offense. This is a good first test.
It is. I mean, it should be a good game. I mean, if everything goes to plan, it will be a good game to get fans, back on McDermott's good side, because you've seen some, liking McDermott again, because you see some fans recently, like, oh, why are they trading all the players? Why are they tanking? Which they're not tanking. But, you know, there's some fans that I've seen that are already surprisingly starting to turn on McDermott, who hasn't coached an NFL game yet. But this will be a good test to see if the switch back to a 4-3 will really benefit the likes of Jerry Hughes, Jack Lawson, and just see if the defense can bounce back from two lackluster years. And it'll also be fun to see what exactly LeSean McCoy is going to do on offense, because you've heard throughout the offseason that he may lead the league in rushing this year because the offensive line's strong again. He's going to get more involved in the passing game as a receiver, and then McDermott said the other day that there's a possibility that he plays every snap on offense. So I'm excited to watch LeSean McCoy go off on his hashtag 10K chase, hashtag 12K chase.
Right, and like you said, Sean McDermott told the media that he was ready to use him on every single snap if that's what it took to beat the New York Jets. Hopefully it doesn't come down to that. But to double up on that, the next day they added $2.5 million in incentives to his contract, which was a $40 million deal signed before the 2015 season. And he already had a salary cap hit of $8.875 million. So he can make upwards of $11 million. We don't know what those benchmarks for hitting the incentives are yet, but I'm sure they have to do with being over 1,000 yards. We know he's 1,034 rushing yards away from 10,000 for his career, I believe. And we've seen him using the hashtag 10K chase, 12K chase, because he's made it clear during the offseason that he wants to be remembered as a Hall of Fame running back. So I think that adding those incentives to for him will keep his head in the game if the Bills' offense and things aren't really going the way he wants by the middle of the year. Maybe those that $2.5 million will keep him in the games.
Yeah, and on top of McCoy, I'm really excited to watch Tyrod Taylor coming back from his concussion and how he's going to get the ball to his brand-new receiving core. We're going to see Andre Holmes for the first time in a Bills uniform, Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews going to play. He says he's healthy. And I'm really interested to see Kalen Clay, the wide receiver that we traded Kevin Seymour for, Kevon Seymour. The cornerback that a lot of people thought was going to play a big role in the secondary this year. Clay has not caught an NFL pass yet throughout his career. He's been primarily used as a kick returner, but he's got speed. He's a very fast receiver, which is what we need in this receiving corps. So we don't know how he's going to play yet because he's never caught a pass in the NFL, but it'll be interesting to see how they use him because they obviously like him if they traded what's they traded who some thought was going to be our nickel cornerback. We traded for a player who's never caught a pass yet.
Right. I'm excited to see all of those things, especially Jordan Matthews and Zay Jones in the passing game. How will they be used? Both are kind of slot guys, but now you'll have Matthews in the slot, and Holmes probably is your quote-unquote number two on the outside opposite Zay Jones now. I'm sure they'll work both of him and Jones in and out depending on the play that they're used to more or whatever the game flow dictates. But Rick Dennison, I'm interested to see what his new offense has in store. We saw a lot of Tyrod Taylor under center during preseason, but the rushing attack as well. We touched on LeSean McCoy. I mean, the Bills had a dominant rushing attack in the preseason. Had 547 yards at 4.6 yards per attempt, led the league last year in pretty much every category there. But the Jets are not to be messed with when it comes to running the football against them. That's a stout front. I believe they were top five in yards per carry given up and touchdowns. I think they were like 11th in overall yards per game just because teams were able to throw it at will. But even without Sheldon Richardson following the trade with the Seahawks, I still think that you have to be careful rushing against them. And that's obviously that's something that the Bills will want to do early.
Yeah, as you said about how the Jets would be a good test for the defense, it'll also be a really good test for the offense just to see. Because as you said, their run defense is nothing to be messed with. So if McCoy can perform well against them, that'll give a pretty good indication about if they really can lean on him throughout the whole season, and if he is limited, if he can't produce all that much in this game, they may have to look to get other players involved more.
For sure. And going back to the passing game, we saw guys like Muhammad Wilkerson and Leonard Williams just having their way with the Bills' offensive line in the past couple years. So it won't be an easy task. Tyrod's going to be under pressure a lot. We don't know who's going to start at right tackle when Cordy Glenn's back. He's supposed to be playing at left tackle, but we still don't know if it'll be Jordan Mills or the rookie Deion Dawkins starting at right tackle. Jordan Mills had his lunch taken last year by Wilkerson on both games. So that'll be something to keep an eye on because they still have players, and they only had 27 sacks last year, and they were just thrown upon on will. But I don't think that'll be a cakewalk for Tyrod either. And I think that they'll have to get Charles Clay, who was sneakily their leader in receptions a year ago, and also was the leader of the tight ends with seven catches for 63 yards in the preseason, along with Nick O'Leary, who had six for 87 and looks to be really developing into a quality player. We know they're going to use multiple tight end sets given the lack of depth and the receiver depth chart. So what are your thoughts on how the tight ends have really fell into place during the preseason?
Yeah, tight end is a position that it's been talked about all offseason as a position of weakness because a lot of fans haven't liked Charles Clay. They don't feel that he's earned his mega contract that he was given a few years back. Nick O'Leary's just been, he's been looked at as a backup tight end. But in the both training camp and preseason, it's been just crazy how well this tight end core has formed, with Logan Thomas initially in training camp just emerging as a extremely impressive pass catcher, and then in the preseason with Charles Clay and Nick O'Leary, as you said, both performing very well, both finishing near the top of the league in receptions in the preseason. And in Rick Dennison's offense, there are many two tight end sets, so I think we're going to see a fair bit of Clay, O'Leary, and even Thomas in the regular season, especially in this game.
Yeah, I can't argue there. Flipping back to the defensive side of the ball, I know the Jets, they don't, under Josh McCown and Matt Forte, you know that's where he's going. So I don't think Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse are going to be really those guys that are going to take the top off of Buffalo's defense. But at the same time, this is going to be a test because it's an entirely new secondary of starters. I mean, you got Tre'Davious White, a rookie, as the number one corner. Opposite him, it's likely to be EJ Gaines. I think he kind of solidified that job for himself.
Yeah,
throughout the
McDermott
preseason.
Announced it, I think. I think he announced that Gaines is getting the start.
What's that?
I think McDermott already announced that Gaines is starting opposite him, so.
Yeah, so it'll be him and Gaines and White as the two starting corners, and you have new safeties in Jordan Poyer and Mika Hyde. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys play. Obviously, the coming weeks will give us a better picture when they're playing more star quality guys, I would say, to keep it nice. But, yeah, this game will be a nice exhibition of who's the best of the tanking teams. But what are your expectations? What, do you have a real prediction here? And is there a way to you can really get a good idea of how the season will unfold after playing the Jets?
I think anything that the Bills accomplish in this game should be taken with a grain of salt, just because it is against the Jets, and granted, they have a lot of talented players because they're an NFL team, obviously, but they're not a great team. So I think if McCoy has a good game, that'll be reassuring that the Bills' offense is going to be at least serviceable this year. But really anything else, I would take with a grain of salt if they, you know, do surprisingly well or anything.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there either. I think it's another warm-up for the whole starters, really. Obviously, this is means something, but coming against a roster like this, there's really not much that you can take away. Maybe individual matchups, like I said, with Wilkerson earlier, guys like Leonard Williams and stuff like that. But, I mean, if you look at this team, it is not – a talented team on paper, and they're projected to finish at the bottom of the league, and that's the reason. So this will be a good game. Always good to have football back, talk about the Bills, and just stay tuned. We'll have recaps of the game coming next week, and stay tuned to the podcast and the site for everything you need. Here's our interview with Ryan Ducharme. And we are now joined by Ryan Ducharme, NFL, NCAA, NFL draft writer for Inside the Pylon, video editor for Draft Breakdown, a student with the Draft Academy. How are you doing today, Ryan?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely wanted to have you on. You know, coming out of Draft Breakdown, you guys just grind over there, putting out the video clips and everything on the cut-ups on all of the prospects, really. It's really the one-stop shop for any draft nick to go to. So I felt like having you on, you'd have a good insight of multiple games on a lot of the top quarterbacks that Bills fans want to watch and hear about throughout this season. We saw the Sammy Watkins and Ronald Darby trades go down to get those second and third round picks. And a lot of people have put those together with the team now going into a tank. What are your thoughts on tanking in the NFL as a whole? And do you, as a Bills fan yourself, do you see the Bills actually doing that right now?
Yeah, so I wrote something up for Inside the Pylon with Michael Nuttall, who is a Browns fan. So we sort of had this debate in our Slack chat about are the situations for the two teams similar? Do the Bills, are they totally giving up on this season, sort of like the Browns have in years past, where that was a lot more clear, like, look, we're getting rid of everybody, we're starting over, acquiring draft picks, where this to me seemed like more of an admission that, okay, if we're not good this year for the Bills, we're okay with that, but we are still trying to compete in every game. We are still trying to win games and possibly push for the playoffs, but they're okay with focusing on the future a bit more. So I don't think calling it a full-on tank is fair necessarily, but they're absolutely losing current value, giving up Darby, giving up Watkins. You know, you're losing current production for future production, I guess you could say.
Yeah, we saw Paul DePodesta, the Browns general manager, who's made it clear that they're going the Moneyball route. And what he said earlier in the week, I forget if it was with Sports Illustrated or not, but he said basically none of us are perfect, and the only way to get this right is to have the most cracks at it by accumulating draft picks and having that currency to really work with. So if you have 10 picks instead of 5 every year, the thought process there is, okay, you'll have – more hits but more misses as well, because not everyone's batting 1,000 in the NFL draft, as you know.
Right.
So now going into this quarterback class, it was hyped up like it is every year, but this year's class seems to have a lot more names on it as far as the preseason hype goes. Guys like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold out of USC. So I just kind of want to get your thoughts on those guys as of right now. With 1 week in the books, how would you rank the top 5 passers right now?
Yeah, so I'm a big Josh Rosen fan from UCLA, personally. I think he's sort of just a clean prospect. He's got accuracy. He doesn't have, you know, like a cannon like Josh Allen does, or sort of like Cardale Jones almost. That kind of like level of an arm in terms of just raw velocity and arm strength. But I just like what Rosen brings in terms of his accuracy, his pocket presence, sort of the intangibles as well. I mean, that comeback against Texas A&M, he had a couple of ugly throws, but that was legit, you know? Like, that's what you like to see from a starting quarterback. So I'm a big Rosen fan. Darnold, I get it with him. I just don't see – I think it's unfair to him personally. Oh, he's going to win the Heisman, you know, he's going to go first overall in the draft. I mean, the kid didn't even start a full season as a, you know, a redshirt freshman. So I'm just more in the wait and see camp with Darnold. I get it. I think he's got sort of these highlight plays, that the arm, the placement on a couple of throws where you're just like, all right, I get it. Like, that's an NFL throw. But there are other times where you're watching him, and I think his motion is part of it too, where you're just like, there are definitely some things that need to be cleaned up. You know, he's a little sloppy with his mechanics, both with his arm sort of dropping the ball before going into the pass, as well as his feet gets a little, doesn't quite step into the target all the time. And then for me, I was watching him. I did a write up on some of USC's Haas concept variations for Inside the Pylon. And the thing I came away with watching a lot of Darnold for that was, there are plays where he is just on top of everything and puts it right where it needs to be. But a lot of the times a guy will come open. He needs to see it and think about it a second before pulling the trigger and throwing the ball. So that's just that sort of play speed and mental processing or something needs to get cleaned up with Darnold, I think. And then some of the other guys, it's again, the sort of a wait and see year for me. Lamar Jackson, I mean, had an incredible first game, looked really good. Josh Allen struggled. I don't quite get the hype with Josh Allen. You know, you're in the Mountain West, and I don't think he threw maybe 55% completion. Like, not a tell-all stat, obviously, but it's like you need to be dominating that level of competition. And he flashes that, but I don't know if it's consistent enough for me to get the, like, first overall type of talk. So, I mean, like, just as a college football fan, I'm really excited for Lamar Jackson. I hope he is evaluated as a quarterback, because I think he can be.
Yeah, me too. I'm a huge fan of Lamar Jackson, and like you said, you hope he gets evaluated as one. I think he's really a playmaker. I like a lot of what he does, but I'm like you. I like Josh Rosen right now. Like you said, with Darnold, he just never seems consistent on a snap-to-snap basis with his mechanics. His arm is, and his elbows are always in a different spot. His release points never at the same spot on two consecutive throws. So like you said, it's more of a wait and see. He's unexperienced. He needs that time to grow. And it wasn't fair to anoint him as that Heisman caliber quarterback going into his redshirt sophomore season. We all saw that Penn State game, but that's probably not what you want to come back to build upon after that level of play and that competition. And now you're supposed to be this number one guy throughout the year, and we obviously saw that wasn't the case last week.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's sort of every year it's the, well, you know, you got to wait till next year on quarterbacks. Once we get close to the draft, it's next year's class every single year, right? And we saw this kind of with Deshaun Watson. Like, he was seen as like, all right, this is the guy. This, he's going to go first overall. And it wasn't fair to him because he didn't take as big a step from his, you know, into the, I guess that'd be 2016 season as he did going into the 2015 season. Still progressed, but he didn't take like a linear step, you know, which is fine. Like, that's not how players develop. And Mark Schofield at Inside the Pylon wrote a really good piece on this, so I encourage everybody to check it out. But it's unfair to go into the season for these college kids like, oh, you know, next year's class, this is the class, where it's like, if they don't take this massive jump that we quote unquote expect them to, then suddenly they're disappointments, and then you're just repeating the cycle and you wait till the next year again. So like I've mentioned, like, I really want to wait and see, and I'm excited because there's a lot of really fun names in this class. Like, didn't even touch on Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma, Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks in this class who, if a couple of them really take the next step, like, it could absolutely be a fun class and one Bills fans can sort of look at if they look to replace Tyrod.
Right. So now the first thing that came to my head when you said that Darnold kind of needs to play faster with his mental processing and kind of wait and see his guy get open before he throws it. Doesn't that remind you a bit of Tyrod, how he is right now and what they're trying to move a pass from?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's a good point. I think there he's got some flashes. So it's sort of like Darnold, right? Like, there are flashes where I remember watching a game last year, or maybe even the year before, his first season as a starter. He hit Charles Clay over the middle, you know, that buzzword for Tyrod, over the middle. He hit him on a post route 2 steps before Clay had made the break. He saw where he was going. He saw the safety, had to fit it in a window, and he did it. And I think he can do it. It's just that consistency. It's, you hope that this year he takes the next step, but you know, he's had 2 years as a starter. So is this sort of what we can expect from Tyrod? And, you know, it's tough without top tier weapons.
Right. Absolutely. So you would say that right now it's pretty clear that Rosen's the number one guy.
Yeah, for me. And I think opinions are obviously pretty varied on this, but Rosen is up there. And then that sort of second tier for me is Darnold, Lamar Jackson. And then it goes into Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, those kind of guys.
Okay. Now, are there any under-the-radar sleeper guys maybe that aren't really getting touted with these top 5, 6, even 7 quarterbacks in this class?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's, like I mentioned, it's a cool class, I think, for that reason, is there's a ton of quarterbacks who could really become something. And I mentioned Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, who aren't getting, you know, a ton of sort of press. Brett Rippon at Boise State's a guy I kind of like. Trying to think through some other, some other names. But it's fun because there's a lot of just variance in this class. It's not, okay, it's 3 guys at the top, and if they don't hit, we're kind of screwed. It's, like I said, Brett Rippon, Richard Lego out of Indiana looked really good against Ohio State the other day. So those are a couple of guys I'm looking for as well. And then even there's a kid from, I'm totally blanking on the name, from Grambling State, Devontae Kincaid. I just looked it up. Like, if we're getting Grambling State as a guy who's getting NFL looks, it definitely is like a deep class. So that's pretty exciting at least. And if they want to, the Bills want, you know, let's say they want to take another year looking at Tyrod, they could grab a guy sort of in the Nathan Peterman mold in 3rd, 4th, 5th round, see if he develops a little. So it's just an interesting sort of class in that manner.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Peterman. I mean, as a 5th round pick, obviously, you know, there's going to be some growing pains to him. But a lot of fans up here, as you know, probably know, really jumped on that bandwagon early from the first game against the Vikings when he threw that touchdown to Brandon Riley in the end zone. He really outplayed Tyrod in each of the games, I think. Just how quickly he got the ball out and had a handle of the offense. He just looked to be a step faster than Tyrod in just about everything. What were your thoughts on him coming out, and did that validate your assessment of him before the draft from what you saw during the preseason?
Yeah, I think we sort of saw what he is this preseason. He's rhythm, quick passer. He's pretty accurate. Doesn't have a great arm, but he's got enough of an arm, right? He can make most of the throws you need. I think the reason fans really jumped on it, I think, is like you said, he's a fifth round pick. So to me, I didn't expect him to come in and look this comfortable this early on in an NFL offense. The thing is, like, this, you know, in the preseason, they're running as basic stuff that you possibly could. And you saw with Peterman, like, everybody was really happy because, like, all right, he's getting the ball out fast, But it's like, all right, you know, it's these simple route combos where it's pretty clear what you got to do. So it's sort of a tough comparison, too, to Tyrod, where it's like he's going against number one defenses. They're maybe trying to install some other things. Or it's just, you know, I think there's a lot of players have said, like, in training camp practices and the preseason, the defense has the advantage. Mm-hmm. Because an offense is neither are running a full playbook, but the defense can just attack naturally, right? But the offense can't really scheme anybody open because they don't want to put it on film. So it's like, all right, the offense is pretty much always going to look bad. Not to give excuses to Tyrod because he's not looked very good this preseason. But with Peterman, I think, like I said, he's looked like he did in college, but it's just surprising and, you know, pleasantly surprising to see him this comfortable this early on.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for a rookie, especially a late rounder. But I thought that was something to definitely touch on, given your experience with the draft breakdown and all that. But we'll definitely have to have you on again as the year goes on and catch up on some of these guys and see how their stock rises or drops, as everyone loves to say. But
yeah, absolutely.
Where can we find you on Twitter?
So it's at @DBRyan_DukeArm.
All right, and you want to give the sites for Inside the Pylon? Those are great resources.
Yeah, absolutely. So insidethepylon.com, that's where I do most of my writing. They're on Twitter, @ITPylon. And then Draft Breakdown, I'm sure everybody knows, but draftbreakdown.com. So that's where all my like video cutups for these draft prospects will be. And even if I'm not doing them, they really do. Some of those guys just churn out videos. So definitely check them out, @DraftBreakdown on Twitter too.
So you got anything you're working on right now, or?
Yeah, so I'm covering the Pac-12 for Inside the Pylon. So I've been trying to do sort of a scheme preview for each of those teams, which was nice because it gave me some more looks at Rosen and Darnold. And hoping to do a Washington offense piece. Jake Browning's another quarterback I didn't even mention, who's had a bum shoulder but still looked pretty good last year. So Washington, hopefully. I got a Cal piece coming out. And then once the Bills start playing, I'm hoping to be writing about them.
So, Ryan, you talked about your favorite quarterbacks in this draft. Do you think that the Bills actually have a shot at getting one of them? Where do you see them finishing this year, just to wrap things up here?
Yeah, I think my honest prediction is probably around 6-7 wins for the Bills. I think they're defense is going to be a lot better. I think they're better coached, but I just don't think the offense has the weapons right now to really compete. So I don't know if any of these guys are first overall caliber. At this point, probably not. If one of them becomes first overall caliber, the Bills absolutely have the ammo, regardless of where KC finishes, to trade up and get a guy first overall, not totally hamper their draft capital. You know, I think the Bills first rounder, the Chiefs first rounder, and maybe a second or a third that we have, I think could get you to one overall if that's the route they want to take. I don't know if that's the smartest thing. But I think if they're anywhere in the top 10, they can maneuver enough to get the guy they want without a ton of trouble.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I guess that'll wrap it up for us today. Thanks for a lot for coming on, Ryan. Like you said, follow him on Twitter, follow Inside the Pylon. Those guys do great work, breakdowns on everything from college to pro level stuff. The glossary on there for football terminology is incredible. All the work there is really, really good stuff. So thank you, Ryan, for coming on. Hope to have you on again.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
So we just heard Ryan's prediction for the season, but Rob, what are you expecting from this season opener against the Jets? Are you expecting a Bills win, and what score are you expecting to see?
I think the Bills win. I don't think it'll be a pretty game by any chance, but I think they come away, I'd say, probably 24-16, something like that. What about you?
Yeah, as stupid as I think score predictions are, just because you don't really know, I'll just say, like, 27-13. That's the score. Bet on it right now. Take it to the bank.
And Joe, over-under on Taiwan Jones touchdowns?
Week one or the entire season?
Just week one.
4.5, and I'm taking the over.
The over?
Yeah.
A little aggressive for Taiwan. I was saying all three were going to be his, but okay.
I'm thinking he scores at least 6 touchdowns in week one, maybe more.
Oh, okay.
That's a bold prediction there, but I like it.
So I guess that'll wrap it up. Kyle, as always, it's been a blast. You want to tell the people where they can find you?
You can find me on billswire.usatoday.com. That's where I do my writing. And on Twitter at Kyle Salagi.
You can find me at RobQuinn619. And like he said, always go to the Bills Wire or Bills Wire on Facebook. Click like to that. You'll get all the latest news, analysis, right to your sent to your feed. Or timeline, and stay tuned to billswire.usatoday.com throughout the season, and the podcast, of course.